the girls wanted a donkey, and we lived in the city, so that made a strange combination. The girls could go to that donkey, they could go, and it would follow them anywhere they wanted to. I could pull and tug and put apples in front of that donkey, and it just went, kind of like we do sometimes, I shall not be moved. But on the back of that donkey, on the back of that donkey, every donkey, there's a cross. If you look on the spine of that donkey, there's a cross. I crossed it. When Jesus came in to Jerusalem, what did he come in riding? Turn this morning to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. We're going to read this verse again. Last week we talked about this same verse, and we focused more on denying yourself. Okay? And Jesus is talking to the disciples. He's talking to us today. This applies to us. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Father, we ask that you pour out your Spirit here this morning. God, we hear from you. No other influence, no other advice, no device, just you. Speak to us. And may we be listening and receptive to hear and obey what you want us to do. Be it accept you as Savior and Lord, to repent of our ways and return to you cleansed, to pour out our hearts on decisions that we need to make and changes we need to make in our life. May it all be for your glory and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me ask you, did God do whatever it took to cover your sins? Did God do whatever it took to cover your sins? Our deserving punishment so that we can be forgiven and have eternity in heaven with him. So God, if we agree here this morning, God did everything he could do for you and I through his Son, Jesus Christ. Did we deserve it? Nope. But thank God for it. Sometimes we get in ourselves and we think that we're all this, and I've even heard people say, if I do enough good, it's not a balancing act, because if we have one sin in our life, we have separated us from God. If you look at the Ten Commandments and you were to follow those Ten Commandments every single day of your life, it's impossible for you or I to do that. So it's impossible for us to live a righteous life without sin. And God knew that, and that's why he sent Jesus to be our punishment, our sacrifice for each of us. So he did everything. He did whatever it took to cover our sins. Did Jesus deny himself to do God's will? Yes, he did. When he was in the garden, not my will, Father, but thine be done. Jesus followed God's plans for your sake. God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, and Jesus obediently did whatever it took for you and I. What an amazing love that is for us to reject it or ignore it on a daily life. Nobody's ever did that for you. Nobody's ever did that for me. Yet he did. If you would, look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, verse 24. This is Matthew's account. Matthew's a tax collector. Luke, he was a physician. Jesus was preparing his disciples. And folks, before we read this again, let me just share with you. I truly believe that God has every one of us here this morning, and I believe he has everyone watching or listening wherever they're at. He has us specifically in this place hearing his message today to do with us today what he wants to do with us tomorrow if we will simply listen and obey. I truly believe that. But sometimes we just flat out ignore it, or we don't even see it. We try to lie to ourselves and don't see it, kind of like the angel standing in the middle of the road. God's trying to prepare us today for what he wants to do with us tomorrow. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and to take up his cross daily and follow me." Does that seem like a verbatim that we just read in Luke's account? Same thing. If anyone come after me, next week we're going to be talking about following him. Don't misinterpret the text though. Jesus, when he's talking about taking up your cross, he did not mean that you carry some burden in life, that you have some difficult relationship, you have a job that you hate, or you have some kind of physical sickness, that's your cross to carry. That is not what Jesus is talking about. You may hear people say with their self-pity pride, "Well, this is just my difficult cross that I must carry." That is not what this text is saying. Not at all. And we're going to look deeper into that. It's not this difficult thing that I've got to carry. No. Study and understand the text. Don't be influenced by false teaching. Don't be influenced by false traditions. You may have heard this all of your life. "Well, that's just the cross I have to carry, that I have this burden and I have this difficult sickness." That's not what Jesus is talking about in this text. If anyone come after me, let him deny himself and to take up his cross daily and follow me. That's not the text. That's not the context of what he's saying. We're going to look at that more. Most people in church today and even out of church were greatly, greatly influenced by a world that wants us to be defiant, that wants us to have a defiant attitude, if you will. I was listening to Charles Swindoll, and he said that people today either say this out loud or act it out every day. "I want my way. I want my way. And I won't stop until I get my way." Are you with me, folks? That is the defiant attitude, opposed to God's will, opposed to God's design. "I want my way. I won't stop until I get my way. And third, I don't care who it hurts or it affects to get my way." Four, "I will not listen to counsel because I want to get my way." That is a totally defiant, rebellious against God. In the first century, to carry the cross meant this is the maximum pain and humility, death, that you could possibly die. Most Romans have studied this for years, how to maximize a death. They studied this. They wanted to maximize the cross, and that was the maximum pain and most humiliating death a person could possibly go through. And Jesus did that for every one of us. don't minimize it. In 2024, we look at the cross as a symbol of God's redeeming love, His atonement, if you would, and His grace that anyone can receive as a free gift from God. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, looking at verses 8 and 9, please. This was our Awana's Bible verse this past week, by the way. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is by what? Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense, through our faith that we trust and believe and place our lives in His hands. It's not something that we can do because it's a gift of God. If it was something that we could do, we would brag about it. We would boast and say, look at me, what I've done. Look at me, I'm now a Christian because I've done all these good things. That's not. It's for by grace we're saved. It's not of ourselves. Take up your cross is this: humbleness and self-sacrifice. Humbleness and self-sacrifice. Folks, the opposite of pride is humbleness. The opposite of selfishness is self-sacrifice. Not my will, Father, but thine be done. John 15, he talks about that He is the vine and we're the branch, and that we can bring forth much fruit, for without Him we can do nothing. We must lean to Him. God says, lean on me. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in me, for I am the Lord God. I can't. He never said I could. He can. He always said He would. And by faith, we need to let Him. We must die to our old sinful nature. Let me ask you about our sinful nature. If you did to come up here and to pray and say, Lord, I want to die to my selfish, sinful nature today. When you get up on Monday morning, will selfish, sinful natures try to creep back in? Yeah. Wonder why the verse says, take up your cross daily. Right? Our old sinful nature wants to crawl back up every time. We still fight this battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities. Okay? It's a daily walk with God that we have to deny ourselves and to take up our cross in humbleness and saying, God, I can't. My old sinful nature wants to keep coming up. When trouble comes my way, I still want to go this way. When I have pressure, I want to do this. But God, I need your help, because our old sinful nature still wants to lie, still wants to steal, still wants to have our own way. We want to rebel against God's design. We engage in sinful behavior. We don't even sacrifice to the church by serving or giving. We don't use our gifts and talents. We just become defiant. Back up to, I want my way. I won't stop till I get my way. I don't care who it hurts or it affects. I won't listen to counsel because I want my way. People that are enslaved to selfish and sinful, prideful ways cannot see a lot of times the complacent that we are. we can't see through those pious glasses how it affects our lives and how it affects our families' lives. We're blinded to that. Even though that the doctor says we have perfect vision, our spiritual eyes can't see it. To surrender totally to God's will for your life daily is the very best plan. That's the blessings that He has for us. We can try to fix our situations. We can try to fix ourselves. We may have short success, but in the end, it all falls down. We try to lie to ourselves and stay busy, think that about our pride and selfish ways, but it always surfaces somehow. That flesh keeps coming out. So search ourselves, O God, and know us. Have an honest evaluation of your relationship and where you are with God. Do you want to do what God wants to bless you? Then you need to wait and listen to God and follow His way. It's not the other way around. It's not that you do what you want to do and say, God, I need you to bless this. It's just the opposite. God, I want what your will is, because I know it'll be blessed. We don't do things and then ask God to bless it. We do God's plan, God's will, God's design, and He will bless it, because He can't bless sinful behaviors and attitudes. That's not His character. That's not who He is. So we do His will. What delights His heart? Following His steps. Taking up your cross will cost you. It costs Christ. It will take you moving past your intellectual relationship with God, just knowing about Him, studying Him, going to Bible study, reading the Word. It'll take you past the intellectual relationship with God into an intimacy with God. Many people learn, you study, but do you truly follow God's plan? It'll be a difficult journey because Jesus has an opposition. And just as there are two sides, there's one that opposes everything that God does and tries to imitate everything that God wants to do. But then the Jesus within you will empower you to do what God wants to do with you. You must listen and follow His plan, because with Jesus you have the power to overcome, and the rewards will be out of this world. The rewards will be out of this world. Many years ago, in fact, this past week, as I looked it up, I found a movie, and it showed just the clips of this movie, and it was black and white. So that tells you how old I had to go back and find this. I had the book many, many years ago, In His Steps, and the saga of it was fascinating, how God changed the church, how God changed the community when people took the challenge. This one verse, 1 Peter chapter 2. If you would turn there, please. First Peter chapter 2, look at verse 21. This verse, along with the denying yourself and take up your cross daily and follow Him, changed a church and changed a community. For even hereto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. Follow Jesus, come after him, and follow in his steps. The experiment after the message was, would you be willing to do this for 1 year? Would you be willing to do this for 1 year? To ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Many, many years after this black and white video and the book came out, many people still today wear a bracelet that says WWJD. What would Jesus do? Would you be willing to ask yourself that? Would you be willing to ask Jesus that? What would you do that I may follow in your steps? How do I seek God's design and plan? What would Jesus do? Clean in my actions, my attitude, clean in my reactions, my motives, to receive the power of the Holy Spirit to do what God wants me to do. Take action with that. Follow. I ask you the question, what would Jesus do? Would you want to experience the touch of God on your life? Will you respond and commit to surrender all to him? Will you follow in his steps? He loves you. He has the best plan for you. The first step is admitting your need for forgiveness. Then, to confess him as Lord, you are now in control. I believe everything that you did on the cross, your blood covers my sins, that I may have a relationship with you, that now, as you, as Lord of my life, I can follow in your steps because you have the power that lives within me that I can do what pleases and honors and glorifies and draws attention to you alone, not me. Not my will, but thine be done. Would you follow his steps? Would you want to experience the touch of God in your life? Father in heaven, we have the confidence that we are talking to you, the creator of all things, Almighty God. And you know every one of our hearts. You know the desires and motives of our hearts. You know where we are in our walk and relationship with you. Some may need to receive you as Savior and Lord, to receive the forgiveness, believe in what you did on the cross for us, and saying, I want you to be Lord of my life. Some here, Lord, have professed you as Lord, but they took a detour. They've grown complacent and pious. Been playing church, playing religion, doing their own thing, God, having their own way. And today, through the Holy Spirit's conviction, there needs to be a change. Today, Lord, work in all of our lives that we may follow in your steps, that we're willing to do whatever it takes to deny ourselves and to take up our crosses daily and follow you. Lord, kick the thoughts of what other people may think, where we're going to go after we get out of here, and just focus and listen to you right now in this place as you want to work in our lives here this morning to do an amazing work, to begin the journey and experiencing your touch. God, right now we need your touch. We may deny it, we may need to think about it, but God, we do need your touch. And please, God, open up and pour out your Spirit that we experience you touching us this morning. Thank you for what you're going to do in advance, whether it's right now during this invitation, later this evening, or even this week, how you're going to change us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand?